Committee meeting to order, please. First item of business is approval of the minutes from the November 5th meeting.
So move.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Second item is public comments. If there's anyone in the audience that has anything to say on any topic, you'll have 2 minutes. If you state your name and address for the record, you're welcome to go to the podium now. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court. This is related to finance, but not today's agenda.
Okay.
And it's actually personal finances. And this is something that I just found out about from Charleston County. And it's for people who have trouble paying their taxes all at one time. And they have announced a tax installment plan. And it allows people to pay their taxes 4 times a year, quarterly, which for a lot of people apparently will make it a lot easier than have one huge bill at the end of the year. And this is an announcement that I have here that I will give to you all. And it has numbers to call. It's come out of the Treasurer's Department for the county. And I'm wondering if there's any way that the town could put this out on your, now I forget what it's called. It's not the Notify Me, but whenever, you know, all of the news that we send out to the different neighborhoods. So it's a wonderful program because I've heard people complain about this for a long time, and I think it's pretty cool that the county's doing this.
Okay, well, Pat, this is the first we've heard of it. Why don't you give it to me, and then we will see what we can do. Okay? Okay, I'll make sure that everybody that needs one gets one.
Thank you.
Any comments? Yes, Mr. Bustos.
Are they going to charge interest if
no.
you don't pay?
No interest. You pay, there are dates on there of when each payment is due, and there's no interest.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Any other public comments? Okay. The next item is review of economic indicators. Marcy, do you would like to take us through that?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have received our first formalization of some of the economic indicators that we monitor. This report will be updated quarterly. However, as we're currently projecting revenues, we've included October as we're always looking at the most recent data available. We've really focused in 6 main areas with various data from each of the major areas. We look at building and construction data and home sales to help form that picture of what's occurring. We watch accommodations and hospitality tax as well as retail sales. These help frame the impacts of tourism and changes in the economy for us. Business license tax is a large component of our operating budget, so this is closely monitored. We keep watch on the region and nationally as well to look for trends that might impact us. I'm going to touch on a few of our indicators that we are monitoring. Overall, the number of total building permits issued in the first 4 months is down from fiscal year 2018, but is very similar to 2017. The last 2 months of 2018, particularly in June, were high in number of permits. This could be due, of course, to the increase in the impact fees that went into effect July 1st. For new commercial permits issued, the last 2 months have not seen any, but conversely, there have been an increase in commercial repairs, additions, and renovation permits. The number of new single-family dwelling permits in the first quarter of 2019 was below both 2017 and 2018. It was only 180 permits to 223 and 194, respectively. However, the October permits of 74 brought it up slightly above last fiscal year, but still below fiscal year 2017. The total number of single-family permits issued during fiscal year 2018 was 695. Accommodations tax, hospitality tax, and sales tax revenues continue to show growth, however, not at the same rate as been seen in the past. Shown here is just town accommodations tax on a monthly basis. Receipt of these funds run 2 months in arrears. As the end of August, the revenues were similar to the first 2 months of fiscal year 2018, and both of those were 26% above fiscal year 2017. For that same period, local sales tax is up 1%, and hospitality is up 3.3%. Business license tax is a major component of the town's operating revenues. It's important to monitor the classes of businesses, the number of businesses, and the gross receipts of those businesses, as all of those can impact our revenues. The revenue from business license tax through September is up 12% over the same time last year. This is just some highlights. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Can we go back a slide or so? I think it was one slide back. So just a quick question again on the single-family building permits issued. You mentioned, of course, what's happened in October and how we went to 254, which is just slightly less than 2 years ago and more than last year. And then you mentioned the number 695. Did you say that for the whole year?
Yes, ma'am. So I look at building single-family permits and all permits on a fiscal year because that's what impacts our operating. So for fiscal year 2018, the total single-family dwelling permits was 695.
And did that include the ones that are the 220 for those two neighborhoods that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that included everything?
Yes, ma'am.
So the only thing that wasn't included was were apartments, but we have a moratorium on that. So
correct.
That was the total number?
Yes, ma'am.
Which I think goes back to what we were talking about with the building permit allocation program is that it's really not going to slow things down per se necessarily because it was already trending lower. Is that right?
The numbers, yeah, for that.
Yeah. 695 versus what we came up with, which is like 820.
I think it the program as proposed doesn't artificially restrict to
right.
a severe degree, but what it does do, I think the mayor mentioned this at the last council meeting, was it puts a ceiling
right.
that if things started to heat up real quickly, that it places that cap.
Right. And that's my reason for bringing it up is I've already heard some feedback from folks in the public saying, why are you doing this? Why? And I was like, well, one, it's what the people wanted when they voted in this last election. But the other thing is that it really doesn't restrict to a level that is in any way punishing to that market. At this point, it actually keeps it pretty stable. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Joe?
RC, the storms that we had, is there any way you can tell how that impacted accommodation taxes or hospitality taxes?
We can certainly go back because we do track it month by month and on a cyclical basis. But I think what we'll see is the storms for the last 4 years have all hit at the same time frame. So I would really have to probably go 5 or 6 years back to see if there's, because when the trend for that month is going to be now, unfortunately, typical because it's hit at the same time.
Okay, well, I don't want you to go back and do all that, but in your opinion, from your experience, would you say that there is a downturn, but a quick recovery after those storms, or?
I would say it does come back pretty fast. What we look at is we look at hotel rooms is one of our indicators that we're going to really look at. And so you do see that dip, but coming into December, it seemed to come back up again. So it wasn't too impactful as far as bringing tourists in for hospitality and accommodations.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other comments?
Just a quick one. Marcy, was that included in the information that y'all gave us? I mean, these slides?
These slides are slightly different. I went back into a little more data, but this whole report should be in there.
Okay.
So they're just shown differently. You see them more month-to-month basis. I just kind of isolated a few pieces and brought more awareness to it.
Okay. And that's in this report or?
That one that was sent out.
No.
This one.
Okay. It came in the email.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Can I get a printout on that, please, ma'am?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Thank
okay.
you very much.
Marcy, thank you. That was really good, informative.
I, I think if...
All right.
Oh, sorry, sir.
No.
If we could, sir, I mean, those are, as you know, you had been talking about for some time, the importance of monitoring those things. I'd say probably, and you're going to see it here with the audit presentation, that going forward, I think things are strong, but we're cautious.
Oh,
like, that's kind of
what... There's no question. And yeah. Luckily, we've got the king in the second row there, yeah. Mayor, as he builds a retreat agenda, all of this information is important for our decisions that we have to make in the future. So I think we'll see this again as we have decisions to make, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Next item is the independent audit. I see we have people from Green, Finney, and Horton here. So, Marcy, yeah. If you'd like to...
Yes, sir. So we have one of the partners with Green Finney, Emily Sobchak, and she's here to present our external independent audit.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here this morning. As Marcy said, my name is Emily Sobchak. I'm a partner with Green Finney and have been working with the town for several years now, and I'm happy to be here to present the results from the fiscal 2018 audit, so for the year ended June 30th, 2018. And one of the things that you should have in front of you there is a copy of the annual financial report, the CAFR. And so that will provide you some good bedtime reading, I'm sure. But what I'm going to do today is to kind of hit on some of the highlights from that report. It's easy. There is a lot of really good information in the report, for sure. But it can be challenging to work through and to really get to the important information if you just start reading from page one. So I'm going to cover some highlights. Please feel free to jump in anytime if you have questions, and I'll be happy to try to answer those for you. So when it comes to the preparation of that financial report, it's very important to keep in mind that most of the hard work that goes into getting that report to a final copy is done on the town side. The town finance group is responsible for maintaining accurate, complete, reliable financial information throughout the year so that it can be provided at year-end for audit purposes, but also so that you're receiving good financial information like what Marcy was providing earlier, to be able to make the best strategic decisions for the town. And so in order to have reliable financial information, one very important aspect of that is having good internal controls in place. So having good segregation of duties, making sure that there are different individuals assigned to different tasks, good reviews in place, and that is part of what we look at during the audit process. I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end, but the town has done a great job of implementing some strong controls, and also the other important aspect of internal controls is that they need to be reviewed and reassessed at least annually so that you're making sure that your processes and procedures are changing as the risks that the town is facing are also changing. So our job as your auditor is to audit the financial information provided. We then issue an opinion based on our audit, and we did issue an unmodified opinion this year. That opinion provides reasonable assurance that the financial statements are materially correct. So it's important to keep in mind that we're not looking at every single transaction. You will notice that in the opinion that we issued this year, we include two what are called emphasis of matter paragraphs. So these just highlight some significant changes that occurred during the year. One is the implementation of GASB 75, which we'll discuss in a few minutes. That is a new accounting standard that changes the way that retiree health care benefits are reported. A second big change that occurred during the year was the creation of the Capital Asset Fund. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about that momentarily, but that took several of the town's funds that were reported in prior years and combined them to improve the financial reporting of the capital improvement plan. So let's look at your general fund. General fund had a total fund balance increase of $3.7 million, bringing fund balance to $44.5 million as of June 30th. Included in that balance is $2 million that has been committed by the town for disaster recovery. You also have $4.6 million that's assigned for fiscal 19 budget appropriations. And then that leaves you with unassigned fund balance of $37.9 million. Your unassigned fund balance represents 44% of your fiscal 19 budgeted expenditures. So that's in compliance with the town's minimum requirement of 25% of operating expenditures. And we want to remind you that while you do have that minimum 25% policy, there are a number of other reasons that should be considered when you're looking at your fund balance and determining if it's at an appropriate level for the town. So some of those factors are included here. One is cash flow purposes. We are measuring your fund balance as of June 30th, and your most significant revenue source, the property tax revenues, don't start coming in until January, really. And so it's important to have a healthy fund balance to get you through these next, or the last 6 months of the calendar year. Now, one benefit of the town is that your business licenses primarily come in during the first quarter. So that does help quite a bit with your cash flows. But your fund balance measured at December 31 will still look quite a bit lower than your fund balance measured at June 30th because of the property tax impact. You also, of course, want to be prepared for future unanticipated expenditures. We certainly are do have some unique risks as a coastal community. Like Marcy said, we've been hit with one storm after another over recent years. And so having fund balance available to cover those expenditures resulting from natural disasters or other unanticipated events is very important and can limit the amount that you are having to borrow to cover those costs. Yes.
I have a fund balance question, and anyone can answer it. If money is taken from fund balance to have a capital asset for the town, for example, a piece of property, and the piece of property had a value, is that still part of a fund balance or no?
It's actually not, and it's a difference in reporting. So in your fund level reporting, you're using a current financial resources measurement focus, which means that you're reporting current assets and current liabilities primarily, no capital assets. So when you're acquiring capital assets or if you're purchasing property, that's actually shown as an expenditure at the fund level. Where it is reported is at the government-wide level where we are reporting your long-term assets and obligations. And so that property would be reported as an asset right in the government-wide level.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
But not on the fund level.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Looking at your general fund activity for the year, you had revenues of $77.4 million. That was an increase of about 6% from 2017, and a big part of that increase is related to an increase in property tax revenues. The TIF district did expire in the prior year, and so that resulted in an increase in revenues that were allocated to the operating fund. You also saw an increase in business licenses of about $758,000, and your revenues were better than budget compared to prior year, better compared to budget by about 8%, and again, in those areas of property taxes and business licenses primarily. On the expenditure side, you had $63.6 million in expenditures for 2018. That was very consistent with prior year, and actually close to 10% below budget. So you're below budget in the area of personnel costs by about $1.6 million, and then just general conservative spending across the board.
Mr. Chair.
Question, Kathy?
So just on that one about the general fund revenues, $5.6 million or 8% better than budget. Mm-hmm. So is it true then from what we've seen from last year's budget, my first time experiencing that, that part of that $5.6 million could be put towards the capital improvement plan rather than just staying in the general fund for the new year if that's what the finance or that $5.6 million can be used for various things, correct?
Well, it's important to look more at the change in fund balance versus the increase in revenues. And it's also important to keep in mind that some of that increase has already been allocated based on your infrastructure management policy. And so it would be important to consider some other factors rather. It wouldn't truly be $5.6 million that would be available.
Right. I guess my thought being, again, if we're bringing in more business revenue better than budget, that we have more to work with to help pay maintenance of things like drainage and so forth.
Potentially.
Is that a reasonable thing to say? Okay, thank you.
It's exactly right. What we typically do is wait till the end of the year to make sure we don't have any surprises and we still had a good year. And then by council policy, we split that available money towards capital.
Thank you.
And that is budgeted.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, so moving on to some of your other governmental funds. Your capital asset fund, as I mentioned earlier, was new for fiscal 18, and that combines several smaller funds into one fund that can really track your capital improvement plan. So that fund reported an increase in fund balance of $8.5 million, and that was based on budgeted transfers into the fund to prepare for future capital needs. Your GO bond capital projects fund and your TIF bond capital projects funds, both of these are reporting revenue sources from prior years that are being used for capital projects. And so as expected, both of those showed a decrease in fund balance as previous year's proceeds were being spent down. Now, your internal service funds are a little bit different from your other funds. These funds, the health services fund, which tracks your healthcare costs, and your insurance management fund, which looks at the general property liability insurance as well as workers' comp, and was new for fiscal 18. These funds are used to help smooth the impact of claims and premiums and deductibles related to your different insurance plans. And so what we typically expect in these funds is, and the goal of the funds is to help build reserves to lessen the impact of, you know, when it comes to any managing any type of risk, you're going to have good years and bad years. And so years that are more consistent with what you expect, you're going to build that reserve, and then you'll be prepared when you have a bad year that it's not going to be as much of a blow. Again, the point of these funds is to take that impact, those fluctuations, out of your general fund and put them in these funds so that you can better track those costs as well. So as I mentioned earlier, your fund, your governmental funds report your current assets and liabilities. Whereas on your government-wide statements, we are adding on your long-term assets and obligations, so your capital assets, long-term debt, things of that nature. Kind of switching over to that kind of full accrual focus, and looking at your long-term assets and obligations, we are reporting total capital assets of $531 million as of June 30th. Includes additions of $30 million, and included in those additions are donated infrastructure of about $14.5 million. One important thing to note is that in your capital assets, and particularly in your construction in progress, we are not including assets or expenditures related to work on state-owned assets. So your Coleman Boulevard project, or in prior years when you've done work on Highway 17, those amounts are expensed because when the project's complete, it's not the town's asset. So that that is important to keep in mind, since some of those projects are the largest projects you have. But just looking at town-owned assets, you've got a couple of significant projects ongoing at June 30th, including the new Town Hall Gym, as well as Waterfront Park. On the other side, the long-term obligations, we have long-term obligations outstanding of $42.7 million at year-end. That's a decrease from the prior year as a result of your principal payments of $4.3 million exceeding the new leases or new debt. You issued one new lease during the year for $725,000. And as you see there, the components of that balance, that does include the infrastructure credit liability, so that's related to your developer's agreements, which is $7.1 million outstanding at June 30th. Now I'll talk for a few minutes about the accounting for the pension plan, which is very similar to the new standard, the accounting for the retiree health care plan. So the pension accounting, this was a change that was effective a few years ago in fiscal 15. And what this one means is that you are reporting a net pension liability related to your participation in the state retirement system. So it's your allocated portion of the total unfunded liability of the state plan. So as you see here, the town is reporting a net pension liability of $60.2 million. Related to your participation in the plan. And it did increase from the prior year due to a number of factors. It's important to keep in mind that these are actuarial calculations, and so it's not a liability like you think of your accounts payable where you're receiving an invoice. These are estimated long-term liabilities. And so what's much more important to put your focus on is what's happening with your retirement contribution rates, because that has a direct impact to your cash flows, whereas this net pension liability is mostly non-cash fluctuations. A couple of years ago, the state approved a plan to continue increasing your contribution rates annually for the next 5 years. And so what that means is that the rates in fiscal 18, which were 13.5% and 18.5%, or I'm sorry, 13.5% and 16.2% respectively for the South Carolina retirement system and the police officers retirement system, those rates, which have already been increasing over the past several years, will continue to increase by 1% per year for the next 5 years, bringing them to 18.5% and 21.2% in fiscal 23.
That mean in dollars?
A lot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it used to have all this, but it's several hundred thousand dollars a year,
yeah, a year.
Direct impact.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a significant impact every year. And in fiscal 2023, they aren't going to start coming back down. Hopefully one day they'll start coming back down, but it's so far off into the future that we really shouldn't count on that. And so when it comes to budgeting, these numbers are very important, and I know that Marcy has a good handle on that and has put in some good processes to budget beyond 1 year, which is what we're really encouraging our clients to do, because these known increases in your fringe benefits will have a significant impact on your operating budget. And so it's important that you plan for that, not just for the next fiscal year, but for the next several years, as we know or have a good idea of what that impact will be. So as I mentioned, the way that the pension is reported is very similar to how your retiree healthcare plan beginning in fiscal 18 is being reported. So in previous years, the way that your retiree healthcare plan was reported under previous accounting guidance was that you would only report a liability on your government-wide financial statements if the actuarially calculated contribution for the year exceeded the amount that the town contributed. So in other words, if we were thinking of this as a mortgage, instead of reporting your total mortgage balance outstanding, you're reporting only if you paid less in your annual premium than they told you to. So the new accounting guidance says, no, you really need to report that full unfunded balance. And so like with the pension, this is only going on your government-wide statement, but it does result.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
But we don't have to fund it at 100%.
No, not at all. There are no rules about funding it. Okay. You can fund it however you wish. And so the town's policy, and this is something that that really council approves every year in the budget, is right. At what level you want to fund it for that year, which is one great benefit of having your own retiree health care plan versus being in the state retirement system where they tell you what you have to pay. And so, yes, there are no rules at what level you have to fund it. You can, many of our clients on their retiree health care plans do kind of a pay-as-you-go, and they pay the premiums each year, and they don't do any advanced funding. That might not be the best long-term strategy, but, you know, that is a decision you can make. Yep.
We're at in excess of $1 million.
Yes, sir. And we do 1.1, and then we also, what we directly contribute for retirees, which runs about 900. So we're about $2 million a year.
Is that money in a trust, or is it just in a fund?
It's in our health insurance fund, the internal services one, but it is sent to irrevocable trust.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. It's in we call it Orbit, the South Carolina trust that handles good. Many local governments.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That you're at that level. Actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the town's at a great level as far as funding goes compared to many other local governments.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So new accounting standards that are coming down the line that might impact you, fortunately nothing as significant as the changes that occurred with the pension and retiree health care accounting over the past several years. But one that I did want to mention is GASB number 87, which provides new guidance for accounting for leases. This one won't be implemented for another couple of years. It goes into effect for fiscal 21. But it will do away with the current thinking as far as operating leases. So operating leases will no longer be a thing. Currently, we classify leases as capital or operating, and it changes significantly how they are reported. But when we implement GASB 87, everything will, in all significant aspects, be reported like capital leases are currently reported, which means that we will report a long-term asset and a long-term obligation for any leases that you participate in. So any year that your federal expenditures exceed $750,000, you are required by the federal government to have what's called a single audit. So this is an additional compliance audit that specifically focuses on your federal awards. And the federal government provides guidance on which federal programs are required to be tested under that single audit. And this year, we actually had two programs that we tested. One was FEMA. And that's primarily related to grant funding for Hurricane Matthew. We also tested the Highway Planning and Construction Program, which has provided funding for Coleman Boulevard. I'm very pleased to say that we did not have any findings related to either of these programs, no significant deficiencies and material weaknesses, which for governments that don't routinely deal with a lot of federal money, that's very impressive because these grants come with a lot of strings attached. There are a lot of compliance requirements related specifically to federal grants that are a little bit different than accounting for your normal local funding. So wonderful job on the finance and grant departments there because that's, like I said, very impressive.
Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Emily, that is great. And I would like to reiterate that if you get a management letter with no recommendations or comments, that's rare.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big for non-detailed people like me. I go to management letter first, mm-hmm. you know, and when the management letter is good, the rest will probably be good. And that's congratulations to you and your staff and Eric and everybody.
That was going to be my comment. Congratulations to Marcy and your staff. Mm-hmm. And also, don't things like this, people, you know, hear this, okay, in one ear out the other kind of thing, but don't these kind of things come into play when they're looking at our credit rating? And our AAA rating is so important
Absolutely.
To us. Yeah. So there we go. Thank you again.
Well, and it also just reflects on, you know, all of the hard work that they're putting in throughout the year, not just when it comes to federal awards, but for, you know, for property tax dollars that, you know, we really appreciate. And that is another important thing to note is that while there were no findings related to the federal award audit, there were also no findings related to the financial statement audit and not even any written management letter comments. So, yes, bravo and thank you. I know that y'all appreciate all of their hard work as we do as well.
Yes. Any other comments? Joe, anything?
Nope.
Gary, anything? Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Okay, the next item is the continued discussion of stormwater. Speaking of...
What about the presentation?
Oh, I'm sorry. Impact fees. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And I, if I can just say that Peggy Conkle, Lisa Eisen, and Jonathan Edwards, they run a great, I mean, they're the reason. And with administration's support of all these changes we've made, it's been awesome. So
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
The annual impact fee is new. When we adopted the updated impact fees last fiscal year, it came along with a requirement that we'll annually report how these fees are being expended. The updated fees began July 1st, 2017, but they were discounted from the maximum amount by 50%. Then January 2018, the discount was only 35%. So it should be noted that July 1st, 18, this past July, they're now discounted 20%, so they're 80% of the maximum. And these numbers are audited numbers. The town has four categories of development impact fees. The amount that the fire protection impact fee generated for 2018 was $600,000 and was used towards debt service for equipment and towards public safety training facility. Municipal facilities and equipment impact fees were budgeted for a new financial enterprise resource planning system and debt service on GO bonds. The recreation development impact fees are only generated on residential development and not commercial development. For fiscal year 2018, the revenue was $522,000 and was identified for Carolina Park Phase 3 and debt service on GO bonds. The fourth category is for transportation development impact fees, and it generated almost $5 million. This funding was earmarked for the projects as shown on the screen. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I have two. So the first one is for the ones for the three areas where it's both commercial and residential. Can you tell us what percentage of that is business versus residential?
I can go back and track it, but it's not something we typically look at because it doesn't matter. The town is seen as a system, a whole system, so it can be used anyway, not necessarily how it's generated, but I could certainly look at that.
I mean, do you think there's a big difference in the balance? Is it significant one way or another?
There is some, and I would say that because when we looked at recreation, we anticipated it to be higher than it was. Mm-hmm. The other three, because we have a new modeling system for impact fees that our financial advisors helped us develop, the other three exceeded their projection, and that was based on what we thought would be commercial and residential. Recreation was the only one that didn't quite hit what we budgeted. One is because it is only residential, and two, because of the impact of some of our developers' agreements.
And then my second question is the Long Point extension amount, $1.8 million, since that was allocated and now the Long Point extension is on hold. Is that just put aside and saved for whatever happens in the future?
There's two actual projects, the Long Point extension and the realignment. The extension is not fully funded yet, and the realignment that was put on hold had no funding at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Good questions. Okay, any other questions or comments on the impact fee report?
I think Bob would have been happy to see the Park West Boulevard widening. He walked out to take a call.
Yes. Yeah.
I know he's always been paying close attention to that.
Kathy, did you have something? Okay. Now for the discussion on the stormwater improvement program.
Yes, sir. So we presented information last meeting, and this is kind of the summary page that we at the end that was kind of the consideration, our recommendation, which is to fund this program, that the fees be increased to $60, from $60 to $100 with a CPI escalator, not with a cap of $120 a year or $10 a month, and that we also renegotiate, as it expires this year, our collection agreement with the county, so it's not based on a percentage of what we collect it, but based on actual cost of collection. If we were
How possible is that to get any to work with them, and that's going to be tough, isn't it?
We actually, I've already reached out to them. It expires July 2nd, and they actually, because they are an enterprise fund, they actually track the cost of what it costs to collect our fees for us. So we should be able to do that instead of making it a blanket percentage.
Right.
I've reached out to them to provide that cost to us. So we believe it's feasible. And then if you may, with these changes, the things that we're watching, we're monitoring our debt ratio per our ordinance. We revenue has to exceed our debt by 115%. These two changes would allow us to meet our debt ratio for the next 40 years and remain solvent. And it gets us four projects, if you will. The SNE farm, which is already in place, it would be $10 million for Old Village and then $10 million for two additional projects.
Right. And the purpose for that, I'm assuming, is to make sure that we're looking far, far out for the drainage problems that are going to happen and we don't have to do this again.
Yes, sir. And plus, money's available during the next 5 years that we couldn't necessarily use debt service for because it would exceed our ratio. We'd still have about $2.8 million in cash money for cash projects besides the money that we spend on pipe repair and rehabilitation.
Okay, so for us, the Finance Committee, I mean, you presented this. This is the second time you're presenting this. At some point, we are going to have to make a decision. Not just us, but the other five, and I think we should at least get some type of indicator of where we are on this, because if we hit them at budget time with a no, I don't know what in the world, I don't know what they're going to do. But I'll start off by saying that this is difficult, and you can call fees or whatever you want. It's all tax increases to me, but. I don't think we can ignore this as a town. I think we have to address it. We have our studies done. We know what the costs are going to be, and we've taken it so far out that we take this hit right now, and then we have our problem solved. But I think we should at least try to give us a feel for where we are with this. Yes,
Chair.
Kathy.
Okay, a couple questions, Marcy. So first of all, let me just say that the second bullet point, reduce existing expenditures and coming up with a way to renegotiate that contract so that maybe, I don't know what dollar-wise that turns into, but it's certainly your opinion that it was worthy to put on here and tell us that this is something that can save us a bunch of money. So one, I greatly appreciate that, and hopefully that's going to work out well. I think anywhere we can cut costs is always, especially something that doesn't really mean a whole lot to our citizens. It's going to mean a whole lot if it allows us not to have to raise fees or taxes. The second thing on the proposed funding, provide sufficient revenue to maintain required revenue to debt ratio. What are we using for our projected revenue increases?
So what the model builds off, it took our current $60, which generates about $2.6 million, and then it took it to $100, and then I used an escalation factor of 1.7% until it capped out at $120 per year. So next year, so for instance, current year we'd collect $2.6 million. Next year we'd collect about $4.4 million. That would be used to make the SNE farm payment and the first payment on Old Village, and then the pipe repair and rehabilitation, and then the staffing. We have about 14 and a half FTEs that staff our stormwater projects.
Okay, so going back to our financial audit for a minute, just for easy reference here since it's on in front of us, we had last year 5.6 million or 8% better than budget on property and sales taxes, 3.6 million better, and on licenses and permits, which are businesses, 1.5 million better than budget. So I know we're talking about two different things, stormwater versus our general fund, but is it possible to say, okay, if we could have more of this, if we could have more growth of what our businesses are generating, that we could use some of that to shore up what we have to spend in other areas?
It's possible, but this is an immediate problem. What may come in, which we hope is through successful economic development, may help in the future. But I think it's important that we use that money that may come in, which is strictly in the general fund, to support operating pressures that are coming. We talk about them in every committee every month, about more in particular areas. And so that money, which would be great, and certainly help lower the tax burden on citizens, should stay in the general fund to support future needs, which are being requested.
Well, you're saying to lower tax, we're not talking about lowering anything, we're talking about potentially
increase. I'm saying what would be a future increase.
As opposed to a future increase.
At the rate of growth that's we feel is coming in the general fund.
But haven't we heard a couple different places in this recent audit, and of course we heard it last year when we went over the budget, I mean not last year, early in the year when we went over the budget, haven't we heard in a number of places that in general we are doing better than perhaps it was projected in terms of bringing in money? And if that's, so you're saying that if we don't do this today, we can't do like the old village drainage next year?
Yes, I'm saying a lot of things that we're talking about is small dollars. Every dollar is important, but what we're looking at in stormwater is a current program that can barely meet the SNE Farm project. And that includes all the operating, which includes the employees digging the ditches and keeping the program going every day. It has been our belief over the last several months that council's desire is to have an aggressive stormwater program which goes after project by project in the neediest parts of town when it comes to stormwater with an aggressive program. And so that's the program that we've provided to you. It's already begun with the design of the two basins in the old village. But where we are right now is we have the, what we feel at the staff level is the direction to have an aggressive program. We have money spent on designs for two basins in the old village, and yet those designs are nearing completion and we don't have a funding source. So our options will be to fund it. And even, by the way, going to $100 only addresses a couple projects going forward. This doesn't address for the next 20 years. It doesn't address Project 4 or Project 5 or Project 6, whatever those are determined to be. So the option is we go, say, to $100, or we pay as you go and go as we are now. And what that would mean is, perhaps we can reach one of the basins in the old village in the next couple years and just put the other plans on hold. I don't think there's any possibility that you're going to be able to shake loose revenue from the operating fund to support stormwater expenditures. The amount of growth that we're going to be seeing, goodness, we're talking about 25 firefighters in the fire department strategic plan. The amount of growth we're going to be seeing and the amount of money that's going to be needed to support the level of services that I believe council has in the general fund is going to require every bit of that money.
Can I add one comment to that?
Mm-hmm, of course.
I love what you're doing because you're looking at this, but all you have in your hand right now is what we just got a little while ago.
Oh, I realize that.
At our retreat, wouldn't it be great if we had every department's needs
Absolutely.
Future so that you can think even more global to how are we going to solve all of it? But I promise you, if that little money, if these little savings go into that stormwater, we're not going to get anything else from all the other departments. And every department has needs out into the future. So I welcome your comments if we talk about this at the retreat, because it's bigger than just this. But the problem with this one is it's right here. I mean, it's right in front of our face right now.
I'll just summarize because you're right. We do need to have this be a much more macro discussion, and the retreat's perfect for that. But I'll just summarize two things that some have already said. One is once you increase something, it's not going to get decreased down the road. So, yes, let's do this so we can pay for these projects. No, it'll just be the beginning of another increase later on. So that's the first thing. And then the second one is from what I understand, and this was a comment I heard just before coming in, and is that we have folks that have been paying stormwater fees all along, and now we go back and didn't have what they feel is good management of stormwater issues, such as the old village folks. And now we come back and say, hey, if you'll just give us 2.5 times what you've been giving us, then we'll fix the problem. So I don't know, I feel like this is a town that has a lot of growth, a lot of potential for revenue, and we need to figure out as much as we can how not to burden our folks.
Good point. Mr. Bustos, any comment?
Eric, I just had one question. If let's say Snee Farm's done, we need $10 million. Is there any other alternative? I mean, you know, I'm sure this isn't the only thing. Mm-hmm. What would be the bill payer if we, how would you do that?
It'd have to be general taxation, you know, the general fund money. One, raising a mill in taxes every year to be able to do it. You know, one mill generates $900,000. So that could pay debt service, you know, for 20 years. You get $20 million or so, and it is interest and all that, but $20 million or so for 20 years. And that would help, let's see, that would take care of the old village, the two basins, and one or two other projects. So
can I add one thing to that? Mm-hmm. I talked to Eric about that answer, and one of the things that he said that I wasn't thinking about that he changed my mind on was, well, that would be easy, you know, just do the one mill. But I'll tell you, if $900,000 gets dumped on this table, it's not all going to stormwater. Somebody's going to send it somewhere else. Somebody's going to send it somewhere else. And then stormwater, you can't dedicate one mill to something unless we do it. But then that doesn't mean the next people elected do something else or something else. Because there's passionate people in each of the committees about needs that they have. And that's why I keep going macro on this discussion. But that is an option. But then with every other option, there are issues that we're going to have to deal with.
Well, and my concern is the long-term viability of an entire section of town, because without drainage, at some point that's going to affect land values.
Oh, yeah.
And people, you know, they're going to lose value because their property doesn't drain.
Right.
So, yeah, okay, thanks.
Yeah, good, great points. Mr. Santos, anything?
No, I'm good.
You're high and dry. Yes, Joe.
Well, sure. Eric, the study's done, and it was $10 million recommended that we have to come up with to fix just two basins. And I can't remember. How many basins were there in the old village?
Oh, goodness. 23?
27?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Exactly. Okay, yeah, right.
Those were the most critical.
Scary.
Yeah, they were the most critical. Yeah, I understand that. But my point being is this is going to be a rolling thing that once part of it gets fixed, we're going to have to keep fixing things, and then that's going to roll all the way up to Park West and up there, because by the time we finish this, there are going to be infrastructure issues up there as they age, as the town ages, right. Even the newest parts. And we'll be starting this all over again.
That's right.
So.
Okay. That's right.
Well, I just, you know, you so many excellent questions and excellent points. But what, in my position, sitting in every meeting, it's the mounting expenditure pressure from every angle. We saw it with the review of the audit about just the cost of employing people, you know, the fringe costs, not just health insurance, but employment taxes and retirement contributions. And it's, I'm afraid even with a $100 bill annually, it probably just addresses, I'm making this number up, but it probably addresses only a portion of the true stormwater situation throughout town over the next several years.
And if I may, Tom.
Sure.
I think this is a discussion that probably needs, not probably, I think it does need to go to the full council for discussion, because we need to find out what the temperature is. And if the temperature is cold on this, you know, we need to move on to finding other solutions. But this is one we can't kick the can down.
No
the
question.
Road.
That's why so, I brought it up right now.
Well, I suppose this is the proper way to do it, to make a motion to put it on the council agenda for next week, for at least the beginning discussion of where we are in storm drain improvement and how it's being funded.
Sure. Kathy?
Mm-hmm. Before we get the second, well, I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to wait
for
a second.
You go ahead.
Before we get the second, I'd like to just say, I think the whole point of having it go to the retreat is that we'll have a lot more of the information in front of us and a lot more time to think about, because when you say, Cold, if we vote next week as council to raise the stormwater fee because people say, well, we've got to do this. We haven't spent the time that we could spend.
I don't think we're looking for a vote. I think it's just, let's just bring it up and find the temperature, for lack of a better word. If we have seven people saying, I'm not doing this, then we need to figure out what are we going to do? Because we have to do something. So I think, well, I can't speak for Joe, but I think it's just, let's just throw it out there.
Well, my intention is not to force a vote next Tuesday on whether we're going to raise this. The motion is simply to, let's take this to the full council and start the discussion. So I'd like to have it as an item on the agenda.
All right, so make that the motion.
I just did.
Okay, I'm sorry, but we just discussed the whole thing without a second.
Well,
but I am the chair. Does that make sense?
Second.
All right, we have a second. All right, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's
opposed.
Good. Yes, opposed.
No.
Okay, no. All right. So we have 2-1, and any other issues for the good of the cause?
Am I allowed to say anything?
You can say anything you want, Kathy.
Just real quick, my reason for no, obviously we have to discuss this, and and we really do need the whole council to be involved, but I believe strongly that we often send things to council and take up a lot of the public's time and council's time on things that should be hashed out before it gets there, and this is one of those where I think we need a lot more of the homework done, and I do feel the retreat, as you're suggesting, is a great place for that.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Gary.
Just quickly. Ultimately, Kathy, I think whatever comes out of that meeting, we'll send it to the retreat. Yes. So it gives us a good opportunity to discuss it in public so people know what's going on, and then we send it to the retreat. So everybody who cares can come to the retreat. If we don't bring it up, then I think we'll miss people who may want to come. So I understand why Joe did that. I think it's good anytime we can do stuff out into the public and let them know where we're headed. I think it's good.
Any other comments? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Hey.